Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update, your weekday roundup of what's been happening news-wise today. So coming up before 5.30, some sad news first of all, as tributes are paid tonight to Jeff Corkish, a former MHK MLC and a well-known figure in the island's music community. He has died at the age of 72. Also this evening, could drugs ever really be stopped from reaching the island? Well, a local charity that helps people with addiction say there is little really that can be done. We'll also hear about the Chief Minister's thoughts on the steam packet 1 year on from the board's takeover. And we'll bring you the latest on Cummel Moor, the residential home in Ramsey. And as ever, we'll keep an eye on the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And you can always email us throughout the programme, studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with the news headlines roundup with Amy Fastamai.
The Department of Home Affairs has confirmed there's no legal requirement to show ID when travelling to the Isle of Man by boat. Minister Jane Poole Wilson says government wants to introduce new legislation that would enable the use of facial recognition technology.
Where there are known wanted people travelling backwards and forwards and they're on a watch list, one of the most effective ways in which we could identify anybody like that who was travelling would be through that automated recognition piece.
Tributes are being paid to former MHK and MLC Jeff Corkish MBE, who's passed away at the age of 72. He represented Douglas West for 7 years before being elected to the Legislative Council in 2013 and was also an avid supporter of the arts on the island. The Health Minister says the future of Cummel Moor remains a clear priority despite not having a timeline to progress the project. But Claire Christian insists her department is fully committed to delivering a replacement for the Ramsey residential home. There's an open evening tonight for people who think they could volunteer at the Peel Charity Shop. It donates thousands of pounds every year to charities and community projects across the island. Pat Costain, MBE, is its chair.
They can serve in the shop, learn how to use the till and the cash machine, take in donated goods, and then there's also sorting.
Some breaking news just in, and police are appealing for witnesses following a road traffic collision which occurred on Harris Promenade in Douglas on Sunday. The incident, which took place at around 7:45 in the evening, involved one pedestrian and one vehicle. Anyone who was in the area at the time or who may have dash cam fitted to their vehicle are asked to contact police headquarters. To international news now, and Israel's taken full responsibility for strikes on the Qatari capital Doha, though it's understood the US was told about them. It claims to have targeted Hamas leadership, but the attacks on the host city of ceasefire negotiations have been condemned, including by the UN. Britain's top man in Washington, Lord Mandelson, appears to have once described the late paedophile Jeffrey Epstein as his best pal. Documents have been released, which it's alleged show birthday messages he was sent, with Donald Trump denying writing a letter or drawing him a picture. And Prince Harry's donated more than £1 million to BBC Children in Need. He's in the UK for 4 days. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There are two yellow weather warnings in place, one for inner harbour flooding and one for coastal overtopping, both in place until tomorrow. So the inner harbour flooding one is until 3 a.m. tomorrow morning and the coastal overtopping until 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. So generally, this evening it's going to be cloudy. Overnight there'll be that continued risk of some occasional rain at times. It will be quite light though. Mainly fresh southeast winds. Minimum temperatures around 12 for most places. Tomorrow, a few showery outbreaks of rain in the morning before a band of more persistent rain will arrive in the afternoon. So that is going to be heavy at times. It will clear away in the evening. Fresh to strong winds. They'll veer south-southwest and top temperatures tomorrow around 16. And then Thursday, sunshine, blustery showers. Those showers heavy at times. And again, strong winds and highest temperatures of 15. Sunset this evening, 7:51. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6:41.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Dillshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view dillshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company. Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to Update. It's coming up to 6 minutes past five. And as we've been hearing today, a former MHK MLC and really prominent member of the island's music community has died. Jeff Corkish, MBE, was elected to represent the constituency of Douglas West in 2006. He was re-elected in 2011 and then joined the Legislative Council in 2013. Now, before his career in politics, he was a long-serving spokesperson for the Steam Packet Company. He was also known for his work in the arts. He won the Cleveland Medal in 1983. He was the director of the Festival of Choirs, a former chair of the Isle of Man Arts Council and also vice chair of Culture Vannin. John Moss has been looking back at his life.
Charles Geoffrey Jeff Corkish was for some years the public voice of a Manx institution, the Steam Packet, before moving to another institution, Timor. He was born in 1953, educated at Douglas High School. In 1969, he joined the Packet, where he developed his relationship with the press. He then decided to move into politics.
By not having any political experience beforehand is not to say that I didn't want to become involved in politics, but certain jobs preclude you from it, and certainly the job I had, which is a very high-profile job, didn't allow me to join. Yes, I would have liked to have joined Douglas Town Council, for instance, but it wasn't possible. So it was something that was burning within you. And it sounded a little bit corny. You know how some people say it was like a calling. It's almost like being a vicar, perhaps. You know, you had a bit of a calling and I wanted to do it, you know. And I'd been, perhaps in the job that I had, you were dealing with people. Politics is very much a people job, mixing with helping, sorting, doing things for people.
He was elected for Douglas West in 2006, being re-elected in 2011. He was an infrequent speaker in the chamber and court, but said he preferred working behind the scenes.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes, and the easiest thing in the world was picking up a phone, talking to the minister, talking to the chief exec, and saying, why is this not being done? If they don't answer that, don't help you, then you can ask a question and waste time.
After being deputy speaker for 2 years, he was elected to the Legislative Council in 2013 for a five-year term. He enjoyed treading the boards, employing his Cleveland Medal-winning voice to effect. During prayers in Timwood, that voice was unmistakable. He had a ready wit and enjoyed making people laugh, in company here with Dot Tilbury.
So stop your shout, stop your pound. You know I pulled a muscle when I did that ground. Can't do it tonight.
Jeff enjoyed organising the Isle of Man Festival of Choirs, making it a musical highlight each year. His friendly personality and fine voice will be much missed. He was awarded the MBE in 2007.
John Moss, looking back at the life of Jeff Corkish, MBE, there have been some lovely tributes online and on social media. Culture Vannin, Dot Tilbury just mentioned there, who Jeff performed with on stage many times. The sad news tonight. 8:30 past five. Just give you more details now about what we heard about in the headlines. And police are appealing for witnesses following a road traffic collision which happened on Harris Promenade in Douglas on Sunday. That was the 7th of September. It took place at 7:45 p.m. It involved one pedestrian and one vehicle. And that pedestrian, we understand, is currently receiving treatment. So officers are appealing for two males who they believe were in the area at the time who may have seen the incident. They did stop to assist but left prior to being spoken to by police. And in addition, police are also requesting the driver of a white car to come forward as they believe it is likely they also witnessed the collision. Anyone who was in the area at the time or who may have dash cam fitted to their vehicle are asked to contact police headquarters on 631 212. Now, the Treasury Minister says the government wants to rebuild the level of reserves enjoyed by the island more than 10 years ago. Spending since then, including the pressures from COVID, has meant there's been a great deal of drawing down on reserves. But Dr. Alex Allinson has told a Tynwald Economic Policy Review Committee this afternoon that the aim is to return to the levels previously enjoyed.
We have, on the Isle of Man, been in the fortunate position of having significant reserves for a long period of time, but those have had to be drawn down on over the last couple of years, particularly in terms of some of the economic pressures that were faced with us. And we haven't got back to the situation necessarily of being able to put money back into those reserves. There are a couple of ways of doing that. One, obviously, is by generating interest on the reserves and then reinvesting that. The other is actually exceeding income over expenditure and being able to pay money back in. What we've seen recently by looking at the investment profile is we've managed to grow the reserves. The question is, in real terms, whether we can get back to the way reserves were before in 2018-19, and that's certainly our intention. It's important we have reserves. It's also really important, though, that we manage to finance government expenditure not at the expense of the local economy, so it's trying to get that balance right. But I'm fairly confident that with the plans we've got, we can stabilise reserves, which we have done, and then start building those up again in the near to medium term.
That is the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allinson, talking to a Tynwald Economic Policy Review Committee this afternoon. It's coming up to 11 and a half minutes past five. So is it really ever going to be possible to stop drugs getting to the Isle of Man? Well, it is one of the things that government is hoping to tackle as part of its Securing Our Island strategy, which was announced last year. And some of the measures being considered are introducing automatic number plate recognition, passenger verification at the ports, and transferring policing responsibility from the Department of Infrastructure to the Isle of Man Constabulary. But there is a charity here that says it's not certain much can be done to stop drugs from crossing our borders. Thea Ozenturk and Jason McKee are from Motivate, and they've been talking to Amy about what the situation is currently like on the island.
We've had a steady year, actually, in terms of referrals for people with drug use. And we equally see people who are impacted by someone else, so family members, significant others. So it's been a pretty steady year. We have seen a few changes, though, in terms of what people are using out there. So, yes, ketamine, which is being talked about a lot in the media at the moment. We're starting to see that now filtering through into the referrals for people. So I think there's probably about 10 people that we've seen who've been impacted by ketamine.
It's something that is used medically in hospital situations as an anaesthetic or pain relief or something like that. What kind of impact can it have if it's misused?
People will take it, obviously, because, they want to change how they feel, and then, they can get that sort of trippy. The negative impact of it is increased heart rate, blood pressure. There's a thing called ketamine bladder, and that's where it builds up in the bladder. And it's actually, people are in England have had their bladder removed from it because the ketamine's built up in there and it's needed surgery. So it's quite a nasty drug.
One thing that government has been talking about a lot recently is trying to tighten security at our borders, at our ports. How much of an impact do you think that's going to have on the ability for drugs to even get to the island in the first place?
Drugs will always find a way through. There's always a demand. People always want to feel a bit different, whether it's with alcohol, whether it's smoking cannabis, whether it's taking cocaine. That demand is always going to be there. And when there's a demand, then people will find means and ways to get it through the Isle of Man. I think that's always been the case from when I was growing up to how it is now.
The UK has got really strict border controls, hasn't it? So it manages to find its way into the British Isles and then it has to make that another little step to us. So it's already got past all of that. So it will be difficult.
That's Thea Ozenturk and Jason McKee from Motivate talking to Amy there. Well, the Department of Home Affairs has confirmed there's no legal requirement to show ID when travelling to the Isle of Man by boat. The Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, faced questions on Man in Line this lunchtime on what data is collected about passenger movements and whether the government can track people overstaying illegally. She said no ID checks were required for sea travel, but work to gather tangible data is underway, including proposals to introduce facial recognition technology.
One of the aspects of the Securing Our Island strategy I referenced was we wanted to work more closely with carriers, which would include the steam packet, to actually make sure we've got verified information about passenger right. manifests. So what the police have always done, I think, and are now even more effective at, is accessing travelling passenger information on an intelligence-led basis so that they can deal with criminality. But what has been a problem, I guess, is that the steam packet stopped taking cash payments earlier this year, because then anyone can rock up and pay cash and get on the boat.
Right.
Now, there will be a record of you having booked. One of the challenges is to make sure that that is verified information, so we know that the person is who they say they are. The other part of it is that we want to bring forward some legislation that gives us an underpinning for the use of facial recognition technology, automatic facial recognition technology, because where there are known wanted people travelling backwards and forwards and they're on a watch list, one of the most effective ways in which we could identify anybody like that who was travelling to or from the island would be through that automated recognition piece that would automatically flag up that someone who is a known wanted person is moving to and from the island, and that would allow us to intercept and deal with the harm rather than targeting people on a widespread basis, as
so
it were.
At the moment, does the constabulary have access to the passenger manifest?
Yes.
That was a very definite answer, wasn't it? That's the Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Poole-Wilson, who was speaking on Man in Line at lunchtime. You can listen back to that programme in full as a podcast at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing to report on the police pages. It's just the traffic lights which are causing some issues, particularly those temporary lights are on South Quay at the roundabout with the old Castletown Road and the bridge there, 24 hours a day. It's for patching works, but do expect delays if you're travelling home that way. Also in Douglas are lights at the bottom of Derby Road, on Saddle Road in Braddon. They are just up from Braddon Bridge. Near Union Mills are temporary lights on the Mount Rule Road as well. And just remember, in Peel, the Fenella Footbridge is now closed for maintenance work, and a stretch of Glenfaber Road is also closed. That's for the installation of a new water main. All okay down at the airport and at the steam packet as well. The Manxman due into Douglas at around 6 p.m.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's 16 minutes past five, and the Health Minister says the future of Cummel Moor remains a clear priority despite not having a timeline to progress the project. Claire Christian, MHK, has provided an update following a Tim Ward written question from the Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper, as Sean Cowper reports.
It's been more than 2 years since plans to close the residential home in Ramsey were put on hold by the Health Department. In March 2024, during Mr Hooper's time as Health Minister, it was confirmed plans to replace the facility were on track. But in January this year, Ms Christian revealed progress had slowed. Now, Minister Christian says DHSC does not yet have a fixed date to bring forward a financial motion for the project, but insists it is firmly on the agenda. Initially, the plan had been to deliver a 45-bed residential facility with day centre, but Minister Christian says the department and Manx Care are now exploring a redesigned model to drive forward the Home First model, which aims to help people live independently in their own homes for as long as possible. She believes this would provide a blend of extra care and more flexible nursing arrangements. Active talks with Treasury, Manx Care and the Project Management Unit are ongoing as part of a wider review of the capital programme, and the Minister says she hopes to share a more detailed update on the next steps for Cummel Moor in the coming months. She adds her department is fully committed to delivering a modern, flexible replacement for Cummel Moor in the centre of the town.
Sean Cowper reporting, 18 minutes past five now. And Onchan commissioners will be asking government for nearly £900,000 to refurbish street lighting across two of the village's housing estates. Now, the local authority will be replacing 151 columns, which are deemed no longer safe, a potential fire and electrocution hazard, or have exposed wiring. Chair of the Commissioners, Anthony Allen, says the financial impact has been considered carefully and buying in bulk is the best value for ratepayers.
Onchan has approximately 1,100 streetlights within the authority. Onchan is a progressive authority that provides local services for the people of Onchan. It has a duty to ensure these are maintained and kept in good order for now and the future. Tonight we've committed to exploring an investment which will save money in terms of electricity costs, ongoing increased maintenance, and address any safety concerns from old columns. This, we believe, will be the right decision for everyone.
And it was quite a lot of money that was mentioned in the meeting there. I think it was upwards of 250,000. But would you just explain about how that money will be spent?
As with a lot of these things, the financial impact is something that we have to consider very carefully. The amount will be in excess of the amount that you've just quoted. At this stage, the process is that we have to make an application to government to be able to borrow the money to commence the work. District Surveyor has said that there will be economies of scale. If we buy in bulk, we're going to get the best deal that we can possibly get in terms of costs, which we can pass on. In terms of safety costs, we will be, as we do with our maintenance programme, address any safety issues. But in this particular case, the area that we're looking at, the columns are of an age where they've come to the end of their life, and we're looking to replace them with new ones.
Onchan Commissioner's Chair Anthony Allen talking to our local democracy reporter Emma Draper there. It's gone 20 past five, and another heavy defeat last weekend for FC Isle of Man means they're facing the task of lifting themselves for another test in the NWCFL Premier Division at Cheadle Town tonight. Following the Ravens' 5-0 loss at Burscough last Saturday, the club's board issued a brief statement saying it would be carrying out a review after their match on Saturday the 20th of September. Well, the FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones believes this review is part of standard procedure at the club and gave his thoughts to us on tonight's latest challenge.
It's not something we don't do anyway. Last season and the season before, we would sit down at regular points within the season and look at, well, how have the last 12 or 13 games gone? So I can update the board on where we're at and what we're trying to do, and also maybe talk about what's coming as well. So in terms of how we work between me and the board, it is just business as usual. It's just what it is. The board felt that they wanted to put something out for the reasons that they did. And, you know, from my point of view, it's just what our normal practice of how we review progress throughout the season.
Is that an inclination from you that they're reviewing, I suppose, your position as manager?
I don't know. I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know. It's not me that can answer that question. As far as I'm concerned, it is part of our regular review. Yes, the results haven't been great, and I'm not on social media, but I understand there was a bit of a, because of the way we lost on Saturday, that caused a bit of a commotion. So maybe it's a way of kind of letting people know that there is a plan, there is a process.
Just finally, obviously, Cheadle, will you have a more settled squad?
No. No, in short, no. We've got a lot of attacking threat in the team, and yeah, we're going to have to come up with some really innovative sort of solutions to fill some of the gaps that we're clearly going to have in the squad when everybody sees what the squad is when it goes out. So, you know, it's going to be really tough, and we've got more than enough to do well against Cheadle, but it's another squad with quite a lot of changes to the team and the squad in general, which really frustrates me. But as I say, you've got to work within the situation and constraints that you've got and make the best out of it as you can, and that's what we'll be doing. I sincerely hope that the group that play against Cheadle play very well, they get a really good result.
That's FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones talking to Darren Timpson, and that game kicks off at the Ground Up Solutions Stadium tonight at 7:45. 22 and a half minutes past five, and an Isle of Man firefighter is aiming to do close to 3,000 burpees to mark the anniversary of the September the 11th attacks this Thursday. Now, Adam Boyd says the 2,977 challenge in a 9-hour shift represents all victims of the 2001 tragedy, and he's also raising money for two charities, Heroes on the Water and the Firefighters Charity. He's been talking to Chanel.
More for me, it's more the kind of the mental fortitude that you've got to do. So my plan is that I'm going to be doing burpees for the full 9 hours. So for the 540 minutes that I'm going to have, I'm going to look to at least do a few on each minute, because I think just that in itself is maybe a little bit more impressive than the number. But yeah, I've been doing tens of thousands of burpees over the last couple of months, so I'd like to think that I am ready for it.
And you say that figure represents the number of people that passed away on that day.
Yeah, it's quite tragic when you hear that number. You almost forget sometimes how many people did actually lose their lives, and of that number, it's 343 of them were first responders. But obviously, all of them, it's such a sad thing. And I think sometimes, just as we grow older and as the time passes, sometimes we really forget that event, or maybe the number of people. So yeah, so it's just really to get people aware of it again. I would have been 9 at the time that happened. But I think it's just as you get older and you kind of, that is a historic event from our generation. So when you then actually look into it, you see how kind of sad and tragic it was. And there's so many photos of, as I said, first responders just going, knowing full well that they're probably not going to be coming back. So that for me, that's real life heroes.
That's Adam Boyd talking to Chanel there. You can find out more on the Manx Radio website, and there's a link to his fundraising there as well. Coming up to 25 past five, and good evening now to our sports editor, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. Well, first off tonight, Isle of Man pro cyclist Lizzie Holden is undergoing treatment after being injured in a crash during the CIMAC Ladies Tour last week. UAE team ADQ has confirmed the rider suffered two broken ribs and a broken collarbone following an incident on the third stage of the Women's World Tour event on Thursday, the 4th of September. Well, in a statement on Saturday, the team said Holden's condition had stabilised and was being transferred that day from intensive care to a regular ward. Furthermore, UAE team ADQ added she would undergo surgery on her broken collarbone in the coming days and is wishing Holden a smooth and speedy recovery. Elsewhere, the Isle of Man men's cricket team suffered defeats to Sweden during two T20 internationals held on Ireland last weekend. During a bilateral series between the nations at Kronborg Cricket Club on Saturday, the 6th of September, Sweden opened strong with a 10-wicket victory over the Manx side during match one. The second contest was a much more closely fought affair, with Sweden again winning, this time by 3 wickets. While both squads were due to face each other twice again on Sunday, however, poor weather meant both matches were abandoned. Outside of the results, there was a personal milestone for the Isle of Man's Joseph Burrows, who received his unique 25th Isle of Man red cap during Saturday. He's currently the Isle of Man's leading wicket taker with 34 wickets at an average of 16.44. Meanwhile, Will Draper and Clara Isaac were among the winners during this year's Isle of Man Triathlon Championship. The 2025 races over both standard and sprint distances took place at Morag Park in Ramsey on Sunday. In the standard distance events, Draper and Isaac won the men's and women's races respectively. Meanwhile, Dominic Dunwell came out on top in the men's sprint event, whilst Kira Prentice was victorious in the women's sprint event. And finally, Manx footballer Freddie O'Donoghue bagged his first goal for Queen of the South at the weekend. The Ireland-born teenager scored a crucial second goal for his side in a 2-1 win over Rangers B in the KDM Evolution Trophy on Saturday, the 6th of September. Well, this season, the former Peel competitor is plying his trade on loan at the Scottish side from parent club Carlisle United.
Oh, isn't that brilliant? What a moment that must have been. We've been following Freddie's progress, so again, you can find out more about that on the Manx Radio website. And that is all from Update this evening. Thank you so much for your company. Coming up next, it's an Island Life special, and it's called The Dream Versus Reality. And this is where I speak to some of the racers who did MGP and Classic TT for the first time this year. They'd wanted to do it for such a long time, but it's really interesting hearing the before, the during, and the after, and see how that went for them. So that is coming up next at 5:30. You can hear the full podcast with the full-length interviews on the Journey to a Dream podcast. After that, it's Greatest Hits with Simon Clark, once again sitting in for Chris Kinley at 9. John Barker will be here with a folk show from... What did I say? Oh, I've got it wrong, Rob. I've got it wrong. Got all the times wrong. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, does it? Just get to the end of the show. That's all you're thinking. Anyway, there'll be the folk show at 9. Dave will be here at 10. And we'll be back tomorrow, and it's all fine.
Well done.
Thanks.